Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. Hope everyone's having an amazing day. And I'm smiling on my face because I just realized, like, I think today is a day for chili.
You think, I mean, the weather.
It just started to rain.
The weather, I did check the weather app and they said cloudy with a chance of chili.
Chili, yeah. Which is my personal favorite weather forecast.
I agree. It did start to rain as I was walking in. I was getting some drops on my foch.
Yeah.
Which was exciting. I could see a chili happening today. I really, really could.
I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there, not just for us, but for all of those who really kind of crave like a chili moment.
Yeah. No, you guys, this might be our day. I don't have all the ingredients, mostly the meat.
I actually have the meat, and that's really for us, like being kosher. If you have that, you can get everything else like at the grocery store, but you have to call the kosher butcher. It won't come till 8.
So you're saying we have the meats?
No, I'm saying dun, 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 da, 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 da. Two things. One, I just want to say Ben drove me to work today because we still we have the car. Because yesterday we borrowed Ben's parents' car to film, I think, our best work yet. I've watched it 3 times and it's almost an hour.
Okay, so I watched it while editing it. Mm-hmm. Then before I exported it, I watched it again because I was like, I don't want to have to make cuts because it's going to take a while to export because it's so big. And then I watched it once it was published. And I have to agree with you and everybody who we've sent it to, and I mean the toasters have and the Patreon members have seen it, like are saying our best vlog yet.
I watched it again this morning while doing my makeup, and I was just, like, hysterical laughing.
It's honestly such premium content. Like, we went, finally, on our
fast...
A year in the making, we did our fast food mukbang vlog. We took the car. We went to New Jersey. That means cream. And we went to 3 fast food restaurants, we won't spoil, and we tried the menu items that we were craving and that we're able to try.
That we saw fit.
We stuffed our faces.
I was having crazy belly problems the whole day after.
You know what? I really wasn't. And actually, the fullness was so fleeting. Like, 2 hours later, I was like, I wish I finished that.
By the way, when I was rewatching the vlog and I was looking at all the nuggets I, like, put down because I'm like, oh, I don't want to get too full. Moron. I should have brought them home with me. I was so upset.
No, I
watching,
agree.
By the way, we took 2 bites of everything. Like, 2 bites of the Frosty.
No, I ate that burger.
Besides burger. We had 2 bites of the Frosty, 2 bites of the Sunday. Like, we didn't even finish the McFlurry. Like, what were we doing?
No, you get so full so fast on that food, but it's not, it doesn't stick with you because it's not, like, good quality.
It's not sustainable.
It's not nutritious.
There's not really, like, an integrity of the meat, would you say?
There's not an integrity of the calorie.
By the way, that's just, like, an inside joke from the vlog. So it's up on our Patreon. That was our 4th episode for this month. It has been so long awaited, and honestly, I wouldn't have done it any other way. Like, I think it's so premium.
Yeah.
And it's almost an hour, and it's just so fucking good. So check that out.
It felt like filming a reality show, honestly, because we had, like, the dash cam camera, and we were just, like, sitting there, like, Kim and Chloe.
We were literally, like, in a Range Rover with GoPros. Like, I was really feeling myself, and I've never in my life, like, itched for a reality show. It's actually something I promised I would never do. But I don't know, just, like, sitting in my car where, like, you know, those mounted GoPros are at such a flattering angle because they're, like, a high above.
Plus, you get, like, the natural light.
Yes.
Car lighting is so good.
I was thinking, I'm like, this might be for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. We will definitely, I mean, the mukbang people were loving it. I think eventually we should do another one going to the ones that are opening on the strip. If you watch the vlog, you know. I don't want to spoil. But there are so many more fast food chains out there waiting to be reviewed by us.
100%. And then I think, like, well, you're pregnant now. So, like, maybe after, like, you're good and ready. Like, we have to do a West Coast mukbang because there's like Carl's Jr., In-N-Out, Del Taco. Like there are so many West Coast. And then maybe we do like a Southern regional, like we do like a Whataburger. There's just so many. And this is something I can definitely, you know.
Franchise.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's a really good idea. But, and I agree we should wait till West Coast till I'm fit to travel.
Yeah.
But I do like doing it while pregnant because I'm doubly hungry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I had extra room.
So the other thing I was going to say was like, Ben, I could not fall asleep last night. I don't know. I had so much on my mind. I have so, like, I'm now in the phase of my life where like a tour is coming up and I have nightmares every night about the tour. Like last night, I had the craziest dream. Ready? I got to my show and like nobody told me that it was like actually a variety show and there was like all these different acts and like nobody told me how much time I had and like Dave Chappelle was there and like it was just like a nightmare. And then so random in my dream, Batsheva from Unorthodox Life was like talking shit about me to all the other comedians and like I had to confront her. It was a very bizarre dream. So whatever, I couldn't sleep, but I was like a little grumpy this morning. Like I'm entitled to be grumpy. It's the morning.
What else are you supposed to be?
So Ben picked me up and I was like, I wasn't even being mean. I was just being like quiet. And he's like, just on the car ride here, just like commenting on my temper. You know, he's like, are you grumpy? I'm like, it's the morning. Like, can I just sit in silence?
Oh, Jesus.
And then like when he dropped me off, I was like being nice because I'm saying bye to my husband who I love. And I was like giving him a kiss. And then he was just like commenting on my temper again. Like, oh, you're so positive. Like
this is all wrong.
Jackie, I was like so irrationally angry. I got out of the car on the passenger side and I left the door open.
That's funny.
So Ben had to get out of the car like in traffic and close my door. I was just like wanting to. I just want to feel justified like in that he was being annoying. Am
that
I right?
That sounds annoying to me. Yeah. I really don't like if nothing's like tangibly bothering me and I'm waiting for you to ask what's wrong so I can tell you what you did wrong.
Of course.
But, you know, there are other times where I'm just. It's called a mood.
It's not even a mood. It's the morning. I'm tired. Like, no. You fell asleep at 11, Ben. I didn't fall asleep till 2.
I agree. No, that would really bother me. Like, just constantly being commented on. Like, yes. My state of mind. No, no, no.
It's nobody's business.
Oh, no.
Oh, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no. It's nobody's business. I guess that's why, you know, your husband shouldn't drive you to work.
I know, but it was so convenient, especially because the second I stepped out of my house, it started to rain and I would have walked. Mm-hmm. And I was really grateful for the ride. So I put up with the commentary.
Yeah.
We have literally an amazing show for you guys today that's going to be 6 hours long because we've got the Fast Five stories, which are so important.
No, and they're
meaty.
Party. Yeah.
Party. And then we have a little TV recap because I watched so much cable television last night that I'm just dying to talk about. And then it's Tuesday, so we have Dear Toasters, which is our advice segment, which is really a highlight of my week.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be doing today. That's what we're going to be tackling.
I think we should get into it.
Me
you
too.
Know, the only thing that we really did yesterday was mukbang. So if you want to see what we were up to, head over to patreon.com/morningtoast. Not only do you have the mukbang of a lifetime waiting for you, but if you join today, then you have so much content waiting for you. Like, it could get you to next year.
And also, if you watch the mukbang from yesterday, you'll really see, like, you know, behind the scenes of what it takes to film a successful mukbang. It is stressful.
It is.
You never see that side of it, you know, on the other channels, those YouTubers. Like,
yeah.
Those
LA YouTubers who, like, sit in their car and eat and talk to the camera, like, that looks like a dream job.
Yeah.
It does. And it was incredibly stressful.
There's so much trash that accumulates, like, the traffic, finding a good parking spot. It's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot. Plus, you got to give it your all, you know?
Well, and I believe we did.
I believe that we did. So patreon.com/themorningtoast. You will not regret it. So much premium content there. And then you can also request the videos and podcasts that you want to see from us.
That's true.
You know, everyone has a voice there at Patreon.
I think we kind of launched as Patreon with like as an initiative to give a voice to the voiceless.
And I think we've been successful in that.
We've achieved just that.
So without further ado, moment of silence.
Dadu.
Miss you, do. Miss you, brew. It is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today is brought to you by one of our favorite sponsors, making a return, Third Love. We put our bodies through so much, pushing them to the limit for sport, family, fashion, or just plain fun. And when you think about it, it's pretty incredible that our bodies keep up. And Third Love is here to keep up with your body. And Third Love, if you've been struggling to find a bra that fits, a bra that supports, Third Love is the brand for you. Like,
finding
I feel like
a bra that fits can change your whole life. Like,
yeah.
It can change the way that your clothes look on you, the way that they fit, the way you feel, the support, the back pain, especially, you know, if you're a big-breasted woman like many of us are.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in pregnancy, like, these titties are changing. And
they're
Third
changing.
Love is keeping up with the changes.
So here's what's so great about Third Love. First of all, their sizes. They have bras available in exclusive half cups. They have underwear, loungewear, activewear in sizes extra small through 3X. And for like most of my life up until I took the Third Love quiz, I did not know what size boob I actually was. And they have a really, really detailed quiz. It's like a personal shopper. They focus on size, breast shape, current fit issues, and your personal style to find bras and underwear that are perfect for you. They've helped almost 18 million women find their true bra size. And that's like the biggest value add of Third Love. Like the size. I never even knew my size existed.
Also, don't sleep on breast shape, because you do your quiz, which you love. You just feel so seen and heard. And they have all these different breast shapes. And you really feel so seen. You're like, oh yeah, that one looks very familiar.
Yeah, I know her. Third Love is also the largest donor of undergarments in the U.S., partnering with organizations across the U.S. They have donated over $40 million worth of bras to help people in need. And there's just like not a reason that you shouldn't be shopping at Third Love. And we also have a code, so that'll help. So right now you can get 20% off your first order at thirdlove.com/toast. That's 20% off at thirdlove.com/toast. I've been wearing Third Love bras since they became a sponsor, and it's truly a life-changing brand. Like, this is why we do what we do.
100%. First story, another reason why we do what we do. Justice for the girls has been served. R. Kelly has been found guilty on all counts in sex trafficking trial. Ooh, fly. R. Kelly was found guilty on Monday of sexually abusing women, boys, and girls for decades, capping the 90s R&B superstar's stunning fall from grace. The crooner was convicted on all 9 counts against him, including racketeering and violations of the Mann Act, which prohibits the transport of any woman or girl across state lines for any immoral purpose.
Yeah.
Kelly, who was wearing a blue suit and white mask, sat stone-faced next to his lawyers as the verdict was read. He faces 10 years to life in prison at his sentencing, which is scheduled for May 4th, 2022.
Ooh, that's in a long time.
This May.
But, like, we know he's guilty. Like, why can't we just sentence him today? I never understand that.
Me neither. 7 months.
Well, you know what? This is just a fab. You never know, you know? Like, with these types of situations, there's so much evidence. And for some reason, like, nobody ever goes to jail, you know? Like, I always think of the Kevin Spacey situation. Like, one day, like, boom, the trial was just over. Like, so the fact that justice was served is so beautiful, stunning, and smart. And I don't know, I just feel like we've all been along for the ride. And you know what? That documentary was, I don't know how the legal system works, but I feel like the documentary was so instrumental in this happening. Like, it brought so, people were obsessed with that documentary, and it brought so much light to the R. Kelly of it all.
Yeah, I agree. I wonder how it did affect the proceedings, but it definitely also garnered a lot of interest, which puts more pressure on, like, judicial process.
Yeah, and what's so crazy is I remember when watching the documentary, like, legal proceedings had, like, started, but he was stalling so much, which it is your right to a fair and speedy trial, but, like, if you and your lawyers want to slow it down, then, like, you can. And I just feel like it's been such a long journey with such a wonderful result, and I am very much looking forward to justice being served.
And it has been served, and that is cause for celebration.
And it's a celebration.
Yes. Are you ready for our next story, which is just some really surprising news? Yeah. And I need you and myself to help dissect what I'm seeing. Angelina Jolie and The Weeknd are fueling dating rumors with another dinner in LA.
So they were spotted together once.
In June. And then they were spotted together again at an Italian restaurant, Giorgio Baldi in Santa Monica, which is a romantic restaurant.
It was a date.
And they arrived separately, but they left together after a couple hours inside.
Okay. I think this is so bizarre. Like, for a million reasons. To me, The Weeknd is, like, the coolest guy in Hollywood. Like, he's, like, just everyone wants to be his friend. Everyone wants to, like, make music with him. He's, like, cool, cool, cool. Like, only dates, like, you know, young models. Like, he's just a very specific type. Mm-hmm. And how I perceive Angelina Jolie is, like, nobody in Hollywood really likes her. And she kind of just gives me, like, what's the right word to use here? She gives me, like she's a witch. Do you know what I mean? Not in, like, a mystical sense, but I feel like she's a witch. Like, she's a wicked, like, person. I don't know why. I just get that vibe from her. And The Weeknd is, like, this cool guy everyone wants to be friends with. Like, talk about opposites attracting. Again, that's just how I perceive the situation.
Okay, interesting. I also think this is a bit of a mismatch. I never got witchy vibes necessarily, and I feel like for so long we got, like, cool, sexy vibes, and then there's been a real fall from grace.
With her divorce.
Since the divorce, and, like, Brad is, like, the most lovable guy. Uh-huh. And there's definitely bad blood. And I just, they must be going into business together.
There
just,
has to be some sort of project.
And Ben Affleck.
There has to be some sort of project on the table for sure.
Yeah.
I cannot wrap my head around this. It seems so random. Like, you just picked two celebrities who work like in different industries, have different friends. Like, I could, how did these two even meet? Like, for real?
I don't know. I feel
like Angelina just like lives in like a chateau in Italy and like never leaves.
It's beyond strange.
It's beyond weird. Like, and I'm sorry, I do not ship.
No, I don't ship either. And but I do always like to be surprised. You know, I feel like everything is so calculated these days. Nothing is really.
That's true.
I don't really see a headline and I'm like shocked. I'm like, what are you guys writing about right now? Like, this is nonsense. So it is nice to feel like I saw something that like you didn't see coming.
It's nice to feel something is what you're saying.
And it's nice to be a part of something.
Well,
I just like got like a watery eye.
Are you getting emotional over this beautiful matchmaking?
I am, because love is a beautiful thing.
Oh my God, are you okay? Are you actually crying?
No, I something went into my eye.
Oh, okay.
I feel like it might have been that fly that had been swarming.
My eyes. Wait, also, I just find it crazy that Selena Gomez will have dated the same person as Angelina Jolie.
Sure.
Isn't that like a crazy part?
No, not for me.
Why?
Just isn't.
They're just like, first of all, like not to be, you know, rude, like the age.
Yes. So for those wondering, she's 46. He's 31. Oh. It's not that crazy.
But how old is he?
31. 15 years.
She is 46? Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought she was much older. Maybe because she's so mature.
Yeah. She's definitely mature.
She's like very involved in like the UN, you know, like she was giving me like 55 vibes, but she's 46.
Oh. Yeah. No, she's 46.
Never knew.
No, it's not the age difference isn't that crazy. I just think they're business it's just partners. Weird.
Like, The Weeknd is just like so cool. Like, he has a song with Kanye, you know?
But I think for a lot of people, I you know, Angelina Jolie is so cool.
You think?
Yeah, she's like, you know, Megan Fox. Like,
she was. Well, you know, Megan Fox.
No, and I think for us who read like the tabloids every day, like, we see her for what she really is, which is witchy.
Totally.
But for most people, like, when you think of, like, sexiest woman alive, it's Angelina Jolie. So, like,
really?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to think that. Like, back in the Mr. and Mrs. Smith days, I just feel like she's so low-key, and then she just, like, I don't know. Like, she stopped being, like, that girl, and then she was, like, you know, philanthropist, humanitarian, world traveler.
I think for a lot of people, she's that woman now. And they look at this, and they're like, go Weeknd. It's your birthday.
Got it. She gives me, like... Like, for me, I don't know. I can't really put into words what I think about this situation. Like,
I told you, it was going to baffle us.
Okay, because, like, for me, this is, like...
We've been stumped.
Okay, we have been stumped. Because when I think of Angelina, like, she gives me a similar vibe to Amal. But Amal doesn't have that witchiness. Like, Amal is kind of, like, this ethereal, like, woman of the world. Whereas, like, Angelina's that, but, like, with a cloak of darkness. I can't explain. No, like, does anybody know what I mean?
I understand what you mean, because, like, she wore the blood and, like, made out with her brother, but...
And she's just always, like, wearing, like, black frocks. I don't know.
The difference between them is Amal is a famous humanitarian, lawyer. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Angelina Jolie is a famous person who became a humanitarian.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the activist.
Literally. I don't know why. Maybe I need more time to ruminate on this. I haven't given much brain power. But I do need time to, like, come to a conclusion on why this feels so odd to me. And, like, why... I could see, like, Angelina... Okay, I could see... This is going to be mean. But I could see Angelina, like, you know, wanting to be with The Weeknd. But I can't really see The Weeknd wanting to be with Angelina. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The words you said made sense. I don't see it for either of them. Mm-hmm. Or I see it for both of them. I think it's equal levels.
Oh, my God. There's a fly.
There's that fly. And you know what I think?
I should have just killed it. What?
I think it's because the plant.
You think if I turned around right now, there'd be some sort of infestation?
I'm looking.
At the bottom?
There's definitely something going on. We talked about what's been going on with McPlant in the mukbang. If you guys want to check it out at patreon.com/morningtoast.
Oh, my God.
The
bug just came right in my eye. There doesn't appear to be anything nefarious going on with the plant.
Well, there does appear to be something nefarious going on overall.
But I do think maybe after this show, it's time to
say goodbye.
Dispose. Yeah.
Should we do a little funeral for McPlant and do a vlog?
I completely agree.
Okay.
McPlant, you were there for me when nobody else was. You literally and figuratively had my back.
You gave us life, McPlant.
And we didn't do the same.
And we took it away.
Amen. Rest in peace.
Amen. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah, I would say that.
I think that you are. You look ready. You have your collar. Mm-hmm.
It's actually a dickie, but thank you.
Okay. SNL announces who is and isn't leaving the cast.
Yeah.
So here's what's happening. Everyone is staying except for Beck Bennett and Lauren Holt.
So when I read this, I did have to Google who Lauren Holt was, which
I have a photo for you.
Which I feel like means it was her time. Mm-hmm. She just did not leave a lasting impression.
Her debut was just last season.
That's so sad.
I guess it just wasn't a fit.
But it must be so hard to make an impression. First of all, in such a big ensemble cast. She wasn't a featured cast member. She was like, there's two tiers, like featured cast members and then like the cast. And she was on that. And like, I'm sure you can write and pitch, but not every one of your sketches is going to get picked up. Some of them get cut for time. So it must be so hard to like stand out. And she just did not. So I think that her being let go was probably the best choice. I was surprised by Beck Bennett. I mean, I don't like die for him and I don't think he's that great, but he's in every sketch.
You know what? Okay. To put some respect on his name, like he really is an important person on the show.
He plays like he could do any impression.
He does everything and he's really in every sketch.
Yep.
Like, he's never the star. It's never like, what's Beck doing?
Not everyone can be the star.
No. And he is just like a really strong, solid.
Completely agree.
Person. And I think that his absence will be very much felt.
I agree. I thought this was kind of weird. Like,
well, I mean, maybe he has some other opportunities. I think that he's been on for a while. I think that, you know, this isn't so crazy because people have to move on at a certain point. Sometimes you get so big at SNL that, you know, then when you move on, you're like Tina Fey.
Yeah.
But other times, like, it's just a one step and then you're going to take your next step. And he's been in some movies and stuff. And
has he?
Yeah. I've seen him around. Let's find out his.
Well, the interesting thing about this news was, like, I remember at the end of last season, we thought a lot of the cast members were leaving. Like, Cecily Strong at the final episode of last season was like very emotional. I thought for sure her time was up, and I do think her time is up. A lot of people thought Kate McKinnon would be leaving, and she was not, which is wonderful. I think nobody really thought Keenan was going to leave because he's just like the stable figure that we all need.
Mm-hmm.
And he really is in every single sketch. So the big time people, nobody left. Pete Davidson is still on, Michael Che, Colin Jost.
No, only those two left. So really, it's not. It could have been more.
I thought, shocking. I remember having a conversation at the end of last season that they were going to like clean house.
Yeah. Oh.
But they didn't. And what they did do is promote
Chloe Fineman and Bowen Yang are now series regulars, which.
As opposed to like that second tier that we were just talking about, which I think is fabulous.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. And then they brought on three new comedians, Aristotle Athari, James Austin Johnson, and Sarah Sherman.
Wonderful. Can't wait to see what they have to offer. I do think that Chloe Fineman and Bowen Yang are the future of the franchise. So love to see respect being put on their names and can't wait to see what they bring to the writer's table.
Yeah. I think overall it could have been a crazier shakeup. It's not. I think I will miss Beck Bennett. I think he's really funny and he always understands the assignment.
Always. I feel like he's just like a very hard worker, like kept his head down, like did exact, never was atrocious. Like
never was the best, but like never really flopped.
Never. No, I think I completely agree with your assessment of the situation.
So good luck, Beck Bennett. Good luck out there.
Yeah, Godspeed.
Looking forward to seeing you. I looked at his IMDb. He's been in a lot of animated things, so maybe he's got some in brewing.
He does have, like, that kind of voice.
Yeah.
No, he's very talented.
He is. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Lisa Vanderpump is making headlines because she
her show premieres tonight.
What show is it? Is it the
Vanderpump
one?
Rules.
Oh.
I know. Somebody told me that yesterday. Actually, you know, I keep telling people that. I want to double check. Somebody told me that yesterday because I was on live and they said, are you going to watch Pump Rules tomorrow night? And is it just me or they've done no promoting? Yes, today.
Okay, cool.
Season 9, episode 1.
Well, that's exciting.
Yes. Why aren't they promoting it at all?
I saw some stuff, but I just assumed that like when they announced that the show's coming, it's going to be in 5 months. So I didn't get excited.
I just saw a trailer like 1 or 2 weeks ago, but no commercials, like nothing.
Yeah, no commercials. Just like from following Lala, I've seen stuff.
Right.
Okay. Well, anyways, Lisa Vanderpump is drumming up some interest in herself by saying that Kyle Richards spread Erica Jane rumors at Andy Cohen's baby shower party. So in a recent interview with Daily Mail TV, Lisa reluctantly claimed that it was former bestie Kyle Richards who spread the rumors about Erica Jane's financial woes at Andy Cohen's baby shower in 2019. So Camille Grammer had previously claimed on Twitter that a West Coast-based housewife and good friend of Erica's circulated stories about Erica at Andy's star-studded party. When asked who it was, Lisa said, it could be the person that Ken kicked out of my house, meaning Kyle.
I just don't believe this one, because if something is coming from Camille Donatacci Grammer's Myers' mouth, I'm reluctant to believe it. She's so thirsty. And we know she has this like very weird alliance with Lisa Vanderpump. So I just feel like this is something they concocted in their heads to maintain relevancy when both of them are so irrelevant now.
Interesting. I don't know. I agree. Like, you definitely have to consider the source. I think Lisa, if she could take anyone down with her, it would be Kyle. Like, I think she's mad at all the girls. But if she could really get only payback for one housewife, it would be Kyle, because I think the betrayal is the deepest there for her. So yes, you have to consider that. But then also, when you say stuff publicly like this, like in an interview, like, you don't necessarily lie. Like,
I don't know, like, there's no proof that this is true. It's all
hearsay. I don't know. I could see some other housewife popping up. There were so many women there. No, I'm saying I heard that. I overheard that. She said that to me.
Someone to corroborate her story.
Yeah. So I guess we'll wait for that. I do, like, and also, what was she saying? You know, she could have been saying something that wasn't nefarious, but just true, that, you know, Tom is in a lawsuit. He was always in a lawsuit.
Kyle is not stupid. Like, let's say Kyle knew. I don't think Kyle would be running around this, like, Housewife Bravo event talking shit about a cat. Like, I just don't think Kyle's stupid.
I think that's one extreme version of what happened. They're giving us nothing about what she actually said or did. Right. I don't think she was running around saying anything. Maybe she had a conversation with someone, one person, and she just mentioned Tom's legal woes because he had other, like, just like Dorit has.
Lawsuits,
Kyle
yeah.
has. I don't think Kyle knew about, you know, widows and orphans.
Yeah. Oh, and nobody did. Yeah.
So I don't think it was that extreme, but I think she might have mentioned something, and now Camille is, like, making it bigger than it is.
By the way, that's a very good assessment of the situation. I feel that.
So it's neither things are true, neither things are false.
Did you see that Andy went on Jimmy Fallon and said the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion is going to be not one, not two, not three, but four parts?
Yes, and I know I'm supposed to be jazzed about it.
I am.
You're jazzed.
Jackie, first of all,
they have to make up for those New York Times slots that they didn't sell.
That's possible. But I think, first of all, there's, like, so many things going on. There's the Erica Jane of it all, which really needs, like, two episodes. Like, there's so much. And then there's also the other shit going on, and it's a pretty good season. Like, I think that four is definitely extreme, but I'm going to have to see what they give us first. Andy was on Watch What Happens Live with Sutton, and they were just talking about it. Like, they both had this trauma that they, like, lived through going through the reunion. And I think it's going to be premium. And you know what? I would rather watch a four-part drawn-out Beverly Hills reunion than one-part New York reunion.
Agreed. And I'll be open-minded. Just keep in mind that means we're going to be recapping Beverly Hills reunion for a month.
No, I know.
That's insane.
Insane.
And I better get the answers
that we deserve
and the justice that I'm looking for.
You know what? You know, I should have screenshotted it. I saw this post. Like, I just follow all these, like, random Bravo accounts. I saw this post that somebody posted on Reddit, and it was just, like, their thoughts on this whole situation, and it was so well said. Like, can you imagine if this situation was going on with a housewife in a different city? Like, this person basically wrote, like, imagine if there was someone on Atlanta who went through this. Like, Kenya would be chewing her out. Nene would be inviting the victims to a dinner party. If this happened in New York, Bethany would get to the bottom of it in 10 seconds. Literally, Erica Jane is so lucky that she is with this group of, like, honestly, wussies, like, who will not ask a question. And the only one who asks literally even the most, like, modest question is getting chewed out. Like, Erica has no clue how good she has it, because if she was on another franchise with some of these other sleuths, Megan King Edmonds, imagine what these women would do to Erica, like, if they knew the magnitude of what was going on and were filming with her. Like, so the fact that she's having a fucking sissy fit temper tantrum over Sutton just saying, I don't want to be sued, like, she doesn't even know how good she has it.
Agreed.
It was such a well said Reddit
comment,
which is so rare. I was shook.
Yeah, no, I agree completely.
So I hope someone fucking lays into her
at
the reunion.
Yeah, no.
Even if Erica is completely innocent and has no blood on her hands, we have to be asking hard questions. And currently, we're not. And we're all like, yeah, Sutton. When Sutton is like low-key doing nothing, like she's not even asking hard questions.
No, but she's doing the only more one. Than anyone else.
Right.
I agree. So if the reunion doesn't give us that, I'm going to be really fucking disappointed.
Like, and you know what? Like, Andy has given me little to no faith that he will actually take matters into his own hands. When he's spoken on the Erica Jayne case on Radio Andy and on Watch Rappin' Live, he's so, like, cautious and nice about it. And I just don't think... And then, you know, if the Monique of it all...
Is any indication. Precedent.
Yeah, we're getting nothing.
This is not a man who serves justice.
No, we're getting nothing.
Fuck.
And you know what? I've been, like, on this Andy Cohen, like, downward spiral. Mm-hmm. And if he fumbles the ball on this reunion, I'm letting you know, like, it is the nail in the coffin for me.
It's going to be a turning point for me. If he fumbles the ball on... If the whole show fumbles the ball on this reunion and we don't get, like, the justice and the answers and the questions that we're looking for, like... Next season of Beverly Hills for me is up in the air.
And you know what?
It's like, up in the air.
When I think of how hard everyone was, like the Housewives and Andy at reunions on Teresa, when like Teresa definitely committed crimes that were victimless and that really were perpetrated by her husband, and she's just like...
Not the smartest.
Right. But everyone like came for her so hard. Like, we need that energy times 11.
Right.
And I just don't... I don't have faith that we're going to get it, but I don't want to be negative.
I'm going to keep an open mind, but I'm just letting you know if we don't get it, things are going to change around here.
I completely agree.
Thank you. I'm glad we're on the same page.
And that page is brought to you by Boll & Branch. Mm. Boll & Branch started with a mission: produce the highest quality sheets in the market and make the world a better place in the process. And today, they're still the best choice for anyone who wants comfort that lasts. Their signature hemmed sheets are beloved bestsellers for one good reason. They get softer with every wash. They're buttery soft, lightweight, and they're made in 100% organic cotton sateen weave. It's perfect for all seasons. They come in a variety of colors and sizes. They stretch from twin to California king. Mm. They're also made with toxin-free process and a fair trade certification to ensure workers are paid a fair and living wage. So I just have to say, I've had Boll & Branch since before they were a sponsor, because I did a swipe up on Rach Parcell's Instagram story and it was the best decision ever. I'm very particular about my sheets. One, because sheets have a big impact on your hair and skin, and because I'm a very warm sleeper and I just feel like not every sheet brand is catering to my sweaty neck. And Boll & Branch is. They are temperature cooled. They're so fabulous and they're gorgeous, because, you know, you got to have that Rach Parcell vibe.
You gotta.
To experience the best sheets you've ever felt, choose Boll & Branch. You can try them worry-free for 30 nights with free shipping and returns, and our listeners can get an exclusive 15% off the first set of sheets with promo code TOAST at BollAndBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L and Branch.com, promo code TOAST.
Thank you, Claudia.
Just wanted to follow up on something I spoke about yesterday. I have made the decision to go see Olivia.
I know.
I think that was part of the reason that was keeping me up last night. I'm so excited.
I'm so jealous.
She's like obviously planning. And by the way, you told me that you had to take off Friday, which really was like the thing that I was like, okay, well now I can go Thursday.
Yeah.
So I'm spending Thursday to Sunday with Olivia and Michaela and Zach. And I'm just so excited. Olivia's like, I'm going to make a nice Shabbat. We're going to go to the club for dinner. And I just don't even know. I'm bringing my bathing suit. Like, I just feel like.
You might not be coming back.
No, 100%. Like, I'll make Olivia podcast with me, like, all week next week. Like, oh, and I think I'm going to vlog for the Patreon, like, my whole trip. But I also want to enjoy, so, like, I might forget. But I'm going to try. I'm so fucking excited. Like, that was what was keeping me up last night. Like, I miss the Kaler Ashley Shapiro so much.
I'm so jealous.
I know.
Like, I'm seriously so jealous. I have a nice weekend lined up for myself in Brew, but...
Oh, you're bringing Brew?
Yeah. Brew's That's invited.
So nice.
It's so
Should
nice.
Should I bring Theo?
Ask Olivia.
It's just more about the plane. Like, I'm traveling by myself.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. He's a big boy.
Big boy.
Big boy. And he's them boys. And he's making noise on a plane.
And I'm Ooh. Sitting in coach, because literally it was crazy. No flights. Everything sold out. And so expensive.
Wow. And the airlines have zero respect None. For human beings, let alone animals these days. Good luck to you.
There are no animal rights on planes anymore. It's actually disgusting.
So crazy how all the airlines got together and said, fuck these animals.
No, they literally were like,
okay. Where's PETA on this?
I was just thinking.
Like, it's so crazy. They just woke up one morning and decided, I'll ban the animals today.
If you've been watching, like, at first they tried to kill our pets, throwing them in the overhead bin in the cargo space. Oh, and like that wasn't enough to get people to stop bringing their pets on planes. Fine, we'll just ban it. They tried to make it so that we didn't want to bring our pets anymore by making it unmanageable. You know, you land, your dog's belly flipped, and your dog is dead. Then they're like, oh, that didn't work. People are still, all right, I guess we'll just ban it. But they tried.
They really did
try. If you've been watching the situation closely, it doesn't seem so. nefarious.
I just don't know why. Why it has to be this way. My one airline, just one, won't stand up and say, we will take your animals. And I understand. I mean, they said there was a lot of incidents and accidents and biting happening with people's dogs on the planes. But what about for those of us who didn't have those incidents and accidents?
Yeah. Also,
why must we all be punished?
I'm just waiting for one person, one wealthy person, to start an airline. And it should just be called Humane Airlines, where we respect people. We respect their property. We respect their feelings. We respect their pets and their personal space. So it's an airline where you pay slightly more, not anything crazy, slightly more for just really every row should be two decently sized recliners. Like this three. Also, like, we're living in America. Like, not everyone can fit in those seats. Like, I just think two big recliners per... I'm not even asking for anything so crazy. I don't need a lay flat bed everywhere we go. But I just need an airline called Humane Airlines where you can bring your pets. We won't be rude. You can't be rude either, though. That's the thing. It's a social contract. Because some... Don't get me wrong. Some people.
But these animals. Days, but these days, like, when you see the viral airline videos, it's the airlines.
No. These days, when you see those viral... Literally, people... I saw the craziest video. This guy had to be sedated and taped to his chair. It's the passengers. No, I don't agree with that at all.
Oh, no. I think it's the airlines. Like, your two-year-old can't keep their mask on and he has asthma and you get kicked off the flight.
That's moronic. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, people literally, like, starting fights. I see the craziest shit. Like, people, I don't even know. Like, I just see all over TikTok, like, people acting like animals. And, like, getting thrown off the plane and delaying.
That's TikTok stuff, sure.
Delaying the flights. Like, people just trying to get home to see their family. Delaying for 3 hours because, like, you are fighting with the person next to you because of, like, elbow room. Like, it's so stupid. Those people, we are separating them. I don't want them here.
Okay.
I do not want them here.
Also, on Humane Airlines, might I suggest my very ergonomic theory for airplane seats? Instead of 3 and 3, we get 2, 2, 2. Yeah. That way, everybody's on an aisle. Everybody's happy. Nobody's in a middle seat.
Okay, I also saw on TikTok this rendering. It was like a possible idea for how to lay out a plane, and it was pretty genius. So, I can't really explain it. Okay, so it's two, and then behind you, there's like a set of like three stairs, and then another two above you, so that you can lay flat on top, like a bunk bed almost.
Interesting.
It sounds like a concentration camp when I say it, but if I show you this rendering, like, it actually looked pretty fabulous.
Okay, show me the rendering. I want to look at the plans.
I've got to start saving my TikToks. Like, I can't remember. I'll find it. But I agree. Like, I'll start a GoFundMe for Humane Airlines. Like, as long as we can get, like, some Fortune 500 CEO to run it, like, I'm fucking done.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's gotten to be too much.
Too much.
Now, are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Oh my God, already? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry. No, I'm not.
No, you're not ready. I didn't know if you wanted a little musical performance.
It's the final story. Humane Airlines coming in 2022. You can bring your pooch.
That's really good. Okay, our fifth and final story. Facebook is pausing work on Instagram Kids app amid growing scrutiny.
Yeah, I think that's best.
Facebook has announced that it's pausing its Instagram Kids project in order to, quote, work with parents, experts, and policymakers to demonstrate the value and need for this product. The announcement follows criticism from 44 state attorneys general who asked Facebook to abandon the project and a request from Democratic lawmakers for more detail about the project. You guys.
Yes, such a weird idea. Like,
how about permanent pause, you know, dissolve the branch? These kids are already not okay. As we've demonstrated on the show so many times.
No, and it's like, we're already so worried about, like, what, for as long as I can remember, like, you know, be careful who you talk to on the internet. And what, we're going to make a platform just for kids, so, like, people who are freaks, like, know exactly where to go?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that aspect, how to catch a predator, go on Instagram Kids.
Right.
But I'm thinking about, like, the social dilemma.
Of
the
course.
The campers aren't okay. The campers have anxiety. The campers don't know how to socialize. And these kids need to get off their phones, not have reasons to spend more time using technology. Here's an idea. Go outside.
Completely. Oh my God, you're like so Michelle Obama. Like, get up, get out, get healthy.
100%.
No, 100%. By the way, these kids are not well. And I think that this is giving me very much vibes of, like, the activists. Like, who thought producing this app, producing this television show would be a good idea. And then, like, I love when they announce it, like, we all have a normal human reaction. We're like, what the fuck? So problematic for so many reasons, and I'm so here for the cancellation of Kidstagram. I don't know what it was going to be called, but very much here for the cancellation.
Very.
And I don't believe in cancel culture.
But very much, it's a pause. It's pause culture. Permanent pause.
Permanent pause. Let's just not forget the permanent
part. I just really hope they don't come back to this. Like, I just hope that they can find a dignified way to say, you know,
we fucked up.
We fucked up.
Let's just, you know what?
It's okay.
If they never.
It's okay to make mistakes.
If they never bring it up again, I will never bring it up again. You know, like, I don't want to be embarrassed.
I'm not going
to
rub it in.
I will never talk about this again, pending that this pause is just like, we all just forget about it, you know?
I totally agree. And we need to focus on what the kids actually need. They need more counselors.
They need actual, like, guidance counselors.
Counselors in bunks.
Counselors in bunks. We need to renovate the bunks, and we need to get the kids out. Like, the kids, I really, like, these kids are not well. Like, I think they've all been cooped up inside their house for a year, in addition to, like, all of what happened before.
In addition,
like,
to being a
social
kid.
Media, being a kid, comparing
just
yourself.
Just, like, kid things for generations.
Then they've been stuck with their parents for a year, not seeing their friends, not going to school, not going to their soccer practices.
During these developmental years, it's not like I just didn't see my friends. I'm 25 years old, like, and I'm, you know, living with myself.
And, like, you're fully developed, like, the kids, you guys. I'm really worried about the kids.
This cannot go forward.
No. This will be truly, like, the straw that breaks the kids' back.
Yeah.
And the campers cannot be walking around with broken backs.
The campers can't sustain much more.
They cannot.
So that's what's the latest with the campers.
So yeah, justice for the campers, justice for the girls, and those were our stories.
Those were our stories. Feel so you needed to know them. And now TV recap?
Yes. Okay, so I watched so much cable television yesterday because we were talking about last week how we both wanted to start watching The Voice. Mm-hmm. And then it was just on and I was flipping through the channels and so was Dancing with the Stars. And the recap of Dancing with the Stars and The Voice is brought to you by Overland.
I'm excited.
Me too.
I love Overland. You got to tell them what it is, and I got to share my experience.
You have a story?
Yeah, I've been living in my Overland.
There's nothing we do every day that is comfier or more luxurious than slipping into a pair of Overland sheepskin slippers. They're a family-owned American heritage brand that puts comfort and quality first for nearly 50 years. They offer outerwear, accessories, and home decor that is all made from sustainable natural fibers like sheepskin, leather, and wool. They use expert craftsmanship to pair the highest quality merino sheepskin, which is naturally moisture wicking, temperature regulating, and antimicrobial, with supportive memory foam in order to make slippers that feel better and wear better for longer. And it's something that really sets Overland apart. They're one of the only brands in the world that use true double-faced sheepskin, so the suede you see on the outside is the same piece as the fluffy sheepskin you feel on the inside. You're getting top-quality material because it has to look and feel great to meet all of their standards. So, I mean, you really cannot put a price on comfort. And I actually wore my Overland slippers on the show last week, and I got so many compliments. I'm obsessed.
I have the same slippers that you have, and they're literally getting me so excited for fall. Like, can't think of anything better than standing in those bad boys making a chili. That's Ooh. When you know that fall is here. You guys, those slippers are so damn comfortable and they have a nice grip at the bottom. So if you do find yourself being
outside.
Over and leaving the house in them, it will be okay.
Don't wait another day to slip into something way more comfortable. Get the best, highest quality sheepskin slippers on the market at overland.com/toast. And if you use that link, you'll get free shipping and free returns. And we recommend you go today because these slippers are so beloved that they've been very known to sell out. So that's Overland, OVERLAND.com/toast. Overland.com/toast.
Thank you, Claudia.
It's a pleasure.
Now, please share your experience. I didn't watch much TV last night.
Okay. So let me just quickly get through The Voice because I'm obsessed. So I feel like I've watched The Voice in the past and it's always about the contestants, of course. But, like, for me, there's so much star power on the judging panel. Like, I didn't even care about the contestants. Like, I was just obsessed with watching them all, like, banter. And they all really have their own thing going on. Like, the dynamic is basically John Legend is really quiet. Like, it's actually crazy how shy he is. I'm maybe not shy, maybe introverted. Like, he's so quiet. It's so disarming. It's just, like, not what I expected from him. Then there's Ari, who was, like, obviously the most famous person there. And, like, they're always just, like, joking. Like, if Ari turns around, like, they're never going to get the person that they want. Because, like, who wouldn't want Ari?
But doesn't she have a maximum amount of people she can take? Okay, so.
But she's also very selective. So like once she turns around, like it's over for everyone else and they all just like start crying. And they're just like talking about how famous she is the whole time. And she's like so humble. She's like, oh my God, what are you guys talking about? Like you're Kelly Clarkson. Like you're Blake Shelton. Like you're John Legend. Like she's so, we stan a humble queen. And then Blake is obviously like his like annoying self, but it's actually quite endearing and he's just very funny. And then Kelly's a fucking queen and I just like love her so fucking much. And she just wants to like help her team like so bad. And you just love to see people out here respecting Kelly Clarkson, and for the most part they really do. I do wonder how it works, because obviously like if people turn, like, you know, someone turns around and like you want them but they need to even out like the teams, like you have to go with Kelly even though like you wanted Blake or something, like I wonder how that works.
What do you mean?
Like, because not everyone can go on one team, so like you can't, like they have to spread out like where people go.
No, but, like, Kelly wouldn't turn around if she didn't have any more spots left.
No, I know, but, like, let's say Kelly has, like, this fly is terrorizing me. Let's say Kelly has, like, one person on her team and Ariana has, like, 4 out of 5. Like, they have to, like, spread it out. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's up to Ari. If she doesn't want to fill her last spot with this singer, she won't turn around.
Like, it feels like they're spreading it out on the show. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but I feel like as a judge, you would want to spread it out yourself. Like, this singer better be the best thing you've ever heard if they're going to take my fifth spot. It's easier to get Ari's first spot than her fifth spot.
I just feel like they're spreading it out. Okay. And there was two people last night who had, like, all 4 chairs to turn. One was this, like, cutie. Okay, by the way, you would have loved him. He's, like, from Tennessee. He's obsessed with playing the fiddle. He got, like, so famous playing the fiddle, like, in his town that Ricky Skriggs, who I think is, like, a really famous bluegrass singer, asked this kid to open for him at the Opry. And it was like the highlight of his life. His dad starts talking about watching his son play the Opry and they start crying. Like, I'm telling you, I was hysterically crying. But he also loves to sing. And he came out and sang this country song, which I didn't know. It's called Tulsa Time, which was like annoying because like, whenever people don't sing songs I know, like, it just makes it worse. But everyone turned around for him. And of course he went with Blake and it was like so cute.
That's so cute.
And then this girl came out. She sang Rocket Man by Elton John and everyone turned around. It was spectacular. Like, I had chills down my spine.
I have a question. Who do you think Ari is taking the most contestants from? Because, like,
Kelly.
Oh, you think people who would normally go to Kelly are now choosing
they
Ari?
They really are very similar. They're, like, belty queens. Like, with, oh, crazy vocal range. And they're both, like, pop.
Interesting. That's like, tough. Like, I don't feel like Ari's taking people from Blake. Like, no, that fiddler wasn't choosing Ari.
Never. Like, so Blake is so country. John Legend is so R&B, soul. Ari and Kelly are both pop queens, and they're both known for their, like, unbelievable vocal range. So, for me, like, if I was going on, like, I would have a hard time choosing between Kelly and Ari.
Who would you choose?
I think I would choose Kelly, and this is why. I think Ari has the best voice ever, and I think that, like, she was just born with it. And I think Kelly has an amazing voice, but has trained her voice over the years so much to, like, hit notes and work on her breathing. And I feel like that's the kind of help I could use. Like, it's so, like, maybe I don't know this to be a fact. It just feels like it's so easy for Ari. And I feel like Kelly, like, works at her talent.
Yes. And also, I think Kelly has had to work harder to make a space for herself, like, in the pop world. I mean, there were so many albums that she did for labels that, like, just didn't understand her, like, story brand person. You know, she always talks about, like, some of the albums that she made that, like, she had no control over. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like Ari was, like, born to be a pop star.
Exactly. Like, and I feel like Kelly's just had a hard time until recently, honestly, like, finding her space in this industry.
Yeah, no, it's extremely recent.
And so, I don't know, I just feel like I love someone who struggles. Like, everything in Ari's life is just, like, it all happened so fast. You know, she was Nickelodeon, and then she was the biggest pop star in the world. Like, I just feel like I would relate more to Kelly's musical and professional journey.
I agree with that.
Would you choose?
I would choose Kelly because, yeah, you know, I just want to get to know her, see what she's all about. Yeah. I do think that actually, like, Ari, like, she's literally our age and has all the same interests and, like,
would be best friends.
But in terms of a coach, like, Kelly gives me counselor energy.
Okay, but then there's also this thing where it's like, okay, if you're a country singer, yeah, of course you want to be mentored by Blake, but then you're also, like, competing against
all the
other country singers. So when Ari and, like, Kelly were trying to persuade this fiddle kid, they're like, okay, obviously Blake is the obvious choice, but do you really want to? I don't have anyone country on my team. Like, you would be the country
person.
And
when you go into the ring,
the battle rounds.
Yeah, it's not country on country.
Exactly. So I actually kind of agree with that.
They make a lot of good points, it sounds like.
No, and it's so fucking funny. Like, basically, Blake Shelton says that he's, like, old enough to be Ariana Grande's grandfather, and they just keep calling him grandpa. It's just, they have the best banter. It's, so premium, and I just never really thought I would be like a girl who watches The Voice. I feel like I'm officially like an old person. I feel like old people watch The Voice.
Old and young. I think well, that
Ari
you,
now.
Yeah, no, she is earning her keep. Like, yeah. She said she would bring in a new demo, and here you are.
And here I am, and she's excellent. She's so sweet to, like, everyone. She's funny. She's great. Like, I think that these four should be on the show forever.
Wow.
Like, I don't ever... And I remember I used to watch with Adam Levine. I found him to be annoying. I know people really liked him. I'm not glad he's gone, but, like, I wouldn't be watching if it was him. Like, these four are perfect.
Oh, my God. I have to watch.
It's so good, Jackie. You will love it. And the singing. Like, this girl who sang Rocket Man, all four turned around. I believe she chose Ari. She was... I never heard a voice like that in my life. Like, it was unbelievable.
I think I recorded them, so I'll watch
them. You
should.
Also, you could just watch them all on YouTube.
True.
Then I watched...
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars. So there was a lot to unpack. And honestly, I got so bored by the end. I didn't even watch Who Got Eliminated. I believe Christine from Bling Empire went home.
No, she didn't. Oh. The guy from Cobra Kai.
Oh, okay.
Martin Rove.
Martin Cove, I think. I was watching and I'm like, obviously he's the one who goes home first. Only because like it's so hard to dance, compete with everyone when you're that much older. And I never heard of this man. So... It was his time. I thought I saw Christine went home. Okay, never mind. So here's what happened. Cheryl Burke, who is partners with Cody Rigsby, tested positive.
Yeah.
And they had just been together, so he couldn't go to the ballroom. But they are going to let him still compete. I don't know with who, but I'm sure he's quarantined for like a little while. And we watched their performance that they had in dress rehearsal, which was like them in their studio. And it was dark. Like, it was not. But with Chuck's, it was such a well-choreographed routine. And Cody's, like, so good. I would have loved to have seen that on the ballroom. Like, it was so high energy. They danced to... I think they danced to Camila Cabello. Oh, yeah, don't go yet. Which, I really like that song. So, we did miss out on that, like, for sure. And everyone is just, like, getting really good. I'm sorry. Olivia Jade is very good. And, like, her and her partner have amazing chemistry. Is he married?
He's dating someone on the cast, or he's married to someone that's on the cast.
That's too bad, because there's a lot of...
I think so.
...chemistry between them.
Let me just...
I think her partner's Val.
Val Chermkovsky, but there was someone else on the cast with Chermkovsky.
I know, that's why it's confusing.
So...
I think he's married to Pacha.
No. He's married to Jenna Johnson, okay. Who's partners with JoJo Siwa.
Okay. JoJo Siwa was... Okay. She was good. She was fine. She was good.
But...
She was just fine, like, for a dance mom. Amanda Kloots was unbelievably radiant and gorgeous. Like, she did this gorgeous dance like a Frank Sinatra song. It was so elegant, so old Hollywood, so everything of the sort. And she's such a good dancer. It's, like, not fucking fair.
Who cut the best scores?
Oh, I don't know. The scoring is so irrelevant to me. Let me tell you why. Because somebody will do, like, good if they're, like, a really bad dancer.
So it's, like, graded on a curve, you're saying?
It's graded for... No, not even on a curve. Graded for the person. Okay, so, like... If I'm, like, a bad dancer, but
like, Martin Rove's 10 is different than Amanda Kloots' 10.
So, right. So, I'm, like, someone who's a bad dancer, but this time I kept up with all the steps. I didn't, like, drop anything, but I wasn't, obviously, like, giving it, you know, the best technique ever. I'll get a 7. But then, like, Amanda Kloots, who's, like, very talented, like, they'll point out her footwork problems.
Yeah.
And she'll get a 6.
Yeah.
So, it makes no fucking sense.
Okay. But it also makes it a little bit more fair, because otherwise, Amanda's getting a 10 every time if we're all graded on the same scale.
Well... It's Dancing with the Stars, not
Dancing with the Scale.
Teaching with the Stars, like,
yeah.
Sorry,
I have to think about how I think it should go. But
Christine from Bling Empire basically said she's obsessed with Dancing with the Stars. She's every year, like, since she moved to LA, like, she used to enter in a lottery to win tickets. They had footage of her sitting behind the judges like 10 years ago. She was literally saying, like, this is the dream of her life. She is not great. Like, she's just, I feel like she reminds me of someone. She's coordinated but has no rhythm, which is so hard to learn, you know?
Yeah.
So she was just giving me, like, low energy, but she was having so much fun. Like, I just want her to spend a good amount of time there because, like, I want her to have fun. Jimmy Allen is so good, but again, it's so easy for a boy to be good. Like, he's very much giving me, like, leading man energy where, like, his partner's doing all the dance where he's just, like, carrying her around. Whereas, like, Cody and Cheryl, like, they're both, like, salsa-ing, like, going, giving it the most. Like, he loves it, you know?
Yeah.
And who else was remarkable? Oh, Melora Hardin from The Office.
Was Jacqueline. Good.
She's so good. I just, like, I love her.
How was Matt James?
Not good. He got bad scores, and they, like, roasted him. And I was reading on Twitter, people were, like, coming for him, like, for his Roomba, like, whatever. Mm. It just needs work. It's still only week two. And to be honest, like, for a while, it's just a popularity contest. Like, there are a bunch of people who need to go home before anyone who has, like, a substantial Instagram following is going to go home. And then it really becomes about the scale. Yeah. But, like, for now, like,
And also, for now, like, you do want to see growth. So having a bad week in the beginning, like, will ultimately make your final dance look better.
Oh, you know who I thought was good was Iman Shumpert. He's, like, not the best dancer, but he was having so much fun, and he remembered all the steps, and I think that he was really surprising. And then also, they're going to keep him on for a while because LeBron James watched Dancing with the Stars last night and tweeted, and they, like, commented on it on air. They're like, LeBron James is watching. It was, like, crazy.
Oh, that's cool for them.
Yeah, and Tyra was, like, out here wearing crazy fucking outfits, but doing much better than last season. Like, people are a little too hard on her. Like, I wanted to see what people thought of, like, everything. And I was on Twitter, and people are just fucking hard on Tyra. Like, yeah, she was wearing the craziest, stupidest dress you ever saw in your life. But, like, leave her alone. Like, it's a moment. She's a model.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that sounds, like, very good.
It sounds very good. Okay. Did you watch any TV you want to recap?
I did, and I just watched a little Outlander, but I was mostly editing the mukbang. So I was watching patreon.com/morningtoast all night. And I have to say, it was premium content I would recommend to anyone.
All right, let's dive into Dear Toasters, our advice segment, which we do every Tuesday. And if you ever want to write in, it's deartoasters@gmail.com, and we will always keep your shit anonymous. Here's the first one. Hi, Claudia and Jackie. I love you guys so much. Congrats on your bebe, Jax. And Claudia, congrats for simply being you, which is fabulous. Wow, that's pathetic.
No, I thought that was
like,
really
you've
sweet.
Accomplished so much, and like, I'm just like over here. It's fine. I'm not sure. This is about her. I don't want to make the Dear Toasters about me.
But it, like, you obviously feel.
But it is. I love Dear Toasters, and I never thought I'd need to write in, but I'm torn, and I need your input on what to do. For the past year, my best friends and I have gotten together to get group gifts for each other, with the idea being that putting our money together for one big gift would be better than giving each other small and expensive gifts, and it would likely be something that we would all like to have, like a designer piece of jewelry or accessory. Mm-hmm. It was finally my turn, and I was so excited to get my gift. My birthday comes around, and I get a hodgepodge of items from Amazon with a total value of half of what I've coordinated and gotten with everyone else. I know this because your girl got gift receipts. I naturally was bummed because I was excited to get a nice new item, and instead I got items of significantly less value and things I've never even asked for nor wanted. Having the money is definitely not the issue here, so I'm not quite sure why I didn't get a nice present when we've been putting in this gift-giving trend for a year. I know you should never expect anything in return, but I just feel like I just feel left out, and I'm not sure why my friends didn't spend the money on me. So here's my dilemma. It's time for the next girly girl to get her gift. Do I continue on and coordinate for her to get the same big-ticket item I've coordinated for the rest of the girls in the past and be a good friend, or do I mention anything about my lackluster gift? Please help. Sincerely, a disappointed best friend who's trying really hard not to be petty. Oh my God, this would bother the shit out of me.
This would bother me so much, especially because there's not that much that you can do without
looking like a slob.
Yeah, and like that you're like counting everyone dollars. And like, you know, they did get you a gift.
No, but like a designer piece of jewelry and things from Amazon, that's like a crazy difference.
Yeah. No, you have to put your foot down. You can't be a schmuck. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can't just be like steamrolled over.
No, and just like keep buying everyone all of these things and like, why didn't they? Well, the reason actually why they didn't get it for you is because you coordinate it for everyone else.
So let someone else coordinate this time and see what happens.
I think that's why, because I don't want to say like they like you less and you know, because that seems too obvious.
Yeah.
I think it's because someone else got put in charge. They waited till the last minute and they sent you some shit from Prime overnight.
And they've
Amazon.
Been used to you like taking doing all charge. The work.
Yeah, I think that's what happened here.
Don't take charge. That's the answer here. Do not take charge. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, it's raining out there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Stay dry.
Have a good one. We got a package.
Sorry, that's from the postman. It says fragile on it.
And it has a photo of Brew on it.
Should we do a live unboxing?
Yeah, because I think it's from this brand that had DM'd me. They put together some mock-ups of some things they wanted to send me, and it was some of the most incredible looking stuff because it was like all Brew merch.
This is not an ad.
This is not an ad. It was all Brew merch, and they really captured his likeness, and so I was like, I would love to receive these items.
Did it occur to you at any moment to get something for your nephew?
They didn't mock up do. And I didn't want to be like a chaza, so I just accepted what they had for me. Just watch out for the
address. Okay, first up, I hope you guys are watching on YouTube today.
Yeah, no, this is about to be some of the most premium shit we've ever seen.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Now I know why I didn't get anything. It's for babies. Okay, here are two bibs. Ready? It has a picture of Bruno on it, and it says Bruno.
Oh, my God. Give that to me.
And then there's also...
This is a onesie, not a bib.
Oh, sorry. Then there's also this one that says Best Friends. And there is a bib. Sorry, that's why I got confused. This bib... Oh, my God. It just has a picture of Bruno.
Look at this hand-drawn picture of Bruno. They completely captured his likeness.
Completely captured his likeness. There's so much more stuff. By the way, this company is not an ad.
And there's some stuff for me in there, too, like a crew neck, I remember.
Perky Prince.
It's called Perky Prince, and they will capture your pup's likeness.
A masks with Bruno on it. I'm dying. Do you want to be unboxing this? I just felt like you didn't want to.
No, you're doing a great job.
Oh, my God. A gorgeous T-shirt with Bruno. You guessed it. Hold on, there's more. This is the crew neck. This is actually sick. Hand-drawn Bruno Facemen.
Oh, my God.
This is sick.
That is fucking sick. Thank you, Perky Prince.
Wait, there's one more big thing.
Oh, my God. Is it?
This, I think, is going to be. Where's my box cutter?
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh.
Oh, my God. This is the cutest fucking company.
Thank you, Johnny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. We finally have our first piece of brew art.
This is gorgeous.
That is gorgeous.
Oh, my God. What a great timing for the postman to come. Hey, this wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Brew. Oh, my God. Hey, Mr. Postman. Oh, my God. This is so beautiful. It's like I want to hang it in the studio, you know, because we have so much Theo art here. But
this is Theo's place. No kidding.
But
you need it for your house.
You have a wall of Theo at home too. So I just need to get started on my brew memorabilia.
I can't believe that's a hand like sketch of brew. That's
and
so impressive.
And they even got like all of his little baby hairs
and his little freckle on his like nose
and his numerous freckles and his just the look of love in his eye. They got that too.
So
unbelievably
cute.
You can get these at perkyprince.com at perkyprince and then #perkyprince.
Again, not an ad, just great timing.
Just great timing and a great product. And they had the picture of brew on the box. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't have opened it live.
Okay, so back to this girl who is getting like...
And sorry to like open all these gifts for me when your issue is...
Rubbing it in her face.
Okay, but here, I think that you need to drop the ball now.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, because it hurts too much.
Mm-hmm.
And fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice.
And just say, where do I send the Venmo? Like, do not be in charge and see what happens. Like, if they're now going back to designer duds, then you know it's not because you're not in charge. There's another reason that we might have to face. But let's not jump to any conclusions.
Yeah, but I think it's time for you to relinquish your duties as you were not respected. And you're not going to put up with that. You're not a doormat.
I'm unfortunately in agreement. All right, next up.
But I don't think it's because they don't like you. So that's good news.
No, but we'll see, like, what happens next. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to bring that up.
But of course, no, after you relinquish, then they'll get their shit together. Still, I don't think it's because they didn't like you. I think it's because they didn't have their shit together.
Okay. Next up. Dear Claudia and Jackie, first off, I could literally not survive the week without my daily dose of morning toast. Side note, I took a road trip with my fiance 2 weeks ago, and he fell asleep and was abruptly woken up to, it's the final story. Anyway, I'm currently planning my bachelorette party, and I'm in a bit of a predicament surrounding the guest list. I have 10 bridesmaids, my three sisters and I are best friends, and they make up much of the bridal party, but I wouldn't have it any other way. The rest of my bridal party is some of the best friends a girl could truly ask for. On top of that, I plan on having my mom and a few other close relatives there.
Wait, I'm so sorry. I wasn't listening at all.
Oh, God. Okay.
I'm really sorry. I was just thinking about the brew items we received.
I'm currently planning my bachelorette party, and I'm in a bit of a predicament. I have 10 bridesmaids. My three sisters and I are best friends, and they make up much of the bridal party, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay.
The rest of my bridal party is some of the best friends a girl could truly ask for, and then on top of that, for the bachelorette party, I plan on having my mom and a few other close relatives there.
Cute.
My issue is that I've had other people who are not in the wedding reach out asking me when the bachelorette party will be. Some people...
Who are these people? These people need to get together and
have their own party.
No, and like we need to like send them, you know, a presentation.
A cease and desist.
As to how you behave in
As a human being.
So when you get invited to a wedding.
These are friends that I may not see that often, but we do speak every day or every week. I do suffer from a bit of social anxiety, so events like this already make me anxious. I worry a lot about making sure everyone else is having a great time, and I don't love everything being all about me. I hate the idea of anyone being upset with me if they are not invited, considering I do talk to these people often. When they ask me what it is, I usually just tell them we're still planning. My question is, will I regret not inviting everyone and just... anyone to such a special event, or should I just keep it to my close group of people? If I don't invite them, what's the best way of going about telling them, since I already have a larger bridal party that I'm just going to keep it small? Sincerely, a social anxious who wants to please every bride and toaster.
Okay. If you weren't planning on inviting them, they didn't come across your mind, even though you said you were inviting people who aren't bridesmaids, then they shouldn't be there. And you shouldn't just invite them because you feel pressure and because you don't want to be the awkward of saying no. Like, you just need to put together like a text that says what it needs to say, which is that in a polite way, you know, I'm so like honored that you would want to go on this trip for my bridal party, but I'm just keeping it to bridesmaids only and family members. So,
and maybe these people don't know they're not bridesmaids.
Like, how do you say so? Fuck not off. You.
So here, I want to say one thing. With bachelorette parties, I'm very much of the mind that truly the more the merrier. Like,
I agree.
And so I know that's not for everyone, but having done a bachelorette party where I just invited everyone, even people who weren't bridesmaids, because it's really the more fuck people, the better.
But because you wanted to, not because they reached out and made you feel uncomfortable.
No, but I just want to just say that. Like, I think bachelorette parties, the more people, the more successful. One. Two. If someone is willing, because sometimes with a bachelorette party, it's like people don't want to pay. If somebody's willing to pay to join you to have fun, I'm more inclined to be like, sure, come. So that's just what I want to say. Think about that. Like, if you think that, like, you actually really like these people and it's, like, tough for you not to invite them, like, sometimes at a bachelorette party, like, you'll be glad the more people you invite. So I just want to put that out there.
I do agree with
you. But if you decide that you don't want them, then we must concoct a plan.
Yeah. And I just think it's, like, just honesty is the best policy.
Yes.
I already... like, have a big group going.
And just, like, keeping to, like, delaying it is not helpful.
Yeah, say, like, thank you for, like, even wanting to come. That's so sweet of you. But I'm just keeping it to bridesmaids and family.
You know, because my mom's coming. Like, you know, I love blaming things. Like, blame it on your mom. Like, my mom's coming, so it's only going to be, like, a couple girls. Like,
no, but she's going to see pictures. It's 10 plus.
So just invite these girls.
No, because you didn't think about
it. She talks to them every day.
She said once a week, I heard.
She said, these are friends that I may not see often, but we do speak every day or every week.
So we're both right.
That is what it looks like.
Okay, think about it. If you think these girls would add value to your trip, just invite them, and then you don't have to deal with the awkwardness of turning them down.
It's no expense to you.
But also, this is a time in your life to be selfish. Yes. And... if you don't want them coming for whatever reason, just say, like, I'm keeping it to bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Thank you, though, for even, like...
wanting to celebrate me.
Yeah.
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 Okay, hope that was helpful. Just invite them. Third and final Dear Toasters is brought to you by Bruche, the best electric toothbrush.
Bruche.
We should have this company make us... Kernex with a Bruche on it.
100%.
So Bruche is the best electric toothbrush on the market and the official Morning Toast toothbrush. Every toaster pretty much has their Bruche. And if you don't, let me tell you why it's worth it. First of all, so many electric toothbrushes can cost over $200, which is just outrageous. But oral care is important, and Bruche is out here bringing you the best electric toothbrush, and it's super affordable compared to those in the market. And they also come in, like, stunning, beautiful, and smart colors that will just, like, make you look fabulous. You can get, like, a cool one for your boyfriend, one for you, one for your girlfriend, like... it's just everything of the sort. The battery life lasts 4 weeks, so you could travel with it. And the brush has 6 unique modes of vibrations, electricity. They also offer a subscription program, so you never forget to change your brush head again. They'll ship you a new replacement head every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn-down brush head. Their electric toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design that comes in trend-driven, seasonal colors, and it looks great on your bathroom counter. Get $15 off your Bruche toothbrush kit and the refill plan when you use code Toast at Bruche.com. That's $15 off using promo code Toast at Bruche.com. $15 off using promo code Toast, Bruche.com.
Bruche.
Oh, that's so cute. Okay, you want to hear the third and final one?
Yes, I do. I hope we can do better for this one than we've done for the first two. I'm not going to lie. We've given some wishy-washy
advice. I think that the advice I gave in the last one was actually good. Like, just invite. Like, you'll never regret inviting, like, a bunch of friends somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, you will regret not inviting if, like, let's say in 5 years you end up being really close with one of these. You know what I mean? Like, just invite. I think that's actually good advice. Okay. This one is actually not addressed to just us. It's Dear Jackie, Claudia, Dr. Dew, and Brew. I need your advice, and I've included the boys because I would love a male perspective as well.
She needs our voice.
What?
She needs our voice.
She needs our voice?
Never mind. You guys heard it.
Yeah, I know, but I gaslit you out of it. I gaslit you out of it.
You literally
gaslit. I'm like, what are you talking about? She needs our advice, and she included the boys because she would love a male perspective.
I wish I thought of that.
She wants to include a male perspective.
Okay.
When it comes to dating, I've always been super picky. I usually know right away whether I can see a future with someone or not. The problem is, when I do find a guy I'm interested in, I fall fast and hard and get my heart broken by someone I've known for a month. Mm. It's pathetic, I know. No, it's not. Flashback to 2 years ago, I go on a date with a guy I met on Hinge. I did not have that first initial obsessive all-in feeling that I usually get with guys that I'm interested in, but I figured I would give him a chance because he honestly looks good on paper and is super attractive. And leaning into that initial intense spark I've had with guys in the past has only left me heartbroken.
Love you changing things up.
And talk about being self-fucking aware.
Yeah.
Like, knowing what you're good at, what you're not good at, and enacting change. Like, I'm...
Yeah, I think you're seeing this course of action hurt you in the past, I'm going to try something different, you know, get out of my comfort zone.
Exactly. So we go on a few dates over the span of a month or so, and I really like him. He's smart, has a great job, and has a wonderful group of friends, and is the cutest dog in the world, other than Dew and Brew.
Okay.
We make the relationship official after 2 months, but I still don't feel that spark. Flash forward to the present, we just celebrated our 2-year anniversary, and things are going great.
So I'm assuming you feel the spark.
Our lives fit perfect. No, I think the problem is that she doesn't. Our lives
She's
fit
been sparkless for 2 years.
Why don't you let me finish and we can find out. Our lives fit perfectly together and we talk about getting engaged and our future. The only problem is I still don't feel that spark. I even feel like we skipped the whole honeymoon phase because I wasn't head over heels for him. I really love him and our life is great, but I'm just worried he's not the one. Am I watching too many couples on TikTok and being overly critical of my own relationship?
Watch Downton Abbey.
Or should I throw all of this away in the hopes of finding Mr. Right? Please help and unsure toaster. Okay. This girl's so smart. Like, she knows what she's feeling might be irrational. And you know what? I'm here to tell you, like, I do think it is.
You said,
I really love him.
I have some advice that's probably going to sound like the wrong advice, but just hear me out, okay? Because of course, like, you should feel spark and love and honeymoon phase, but really most of the couples that have all of that, it doesn't equate to long-term success at all.
Or a successful marriage.
Yeah. And so the things that you guys have in common, even though it did sound like a little superficial, but maybe I'm assuming there's more if there's 2 years worth of relationship here. Mm-hmm. The things that you guys have in common are a really good foundation for a marriage, which is about more than spark. Because as we've said, those butterflies up and leave in 2 fucking months.
And they turn straight into gas. Like,
and they don't come back.
And honestly, I think, like, if you're spending your whole life chasing a spark, like, that's not a realistic way of ending up in a long-term relationship.
Relationships, marriage, commitment is about so much more than spark. It's about partnership. It's
compatibility.
About communication.
Support.
Belief in the same things.
Yeah.
Same
values.
Philosophical.
Yep.
So when you say, like, that you don't have a spark, but you respect this man and you've found a way to spend all your time with him for 2 years.
And you love him very much. That's literally what she said.
I say that that's a pretty good foundation for marriage. And when you think about, like, Downton Abbey, you know, and all these marriages that were
successful.
Arranged marriages, like, so many years ago, where, you know, at first there was no spark. And there probably wasn't going to be spark for a long time. But eventually there was love.
Right. And you fall so deeply in love with each other every day, every year. And you know what? That reminds me of Indian matchmaking.
Yes.
Like, they started every episode of the show with this with a different couple who was, you know, really old school arranged marriage. And they were some of, like, the healthiest, funniest couples I ever saw in my life. Not saying that this is an arranged marriage. But all I'm saying is, like, watching so many movies and books, like, you're supposed to think that, like, you meet someone and that second you get the spark and you just know. And that's really, like, not how realistic marriages work. So I do think we've become, like, we just fantasize and we've been, like, taught that a relationship is supposed to start and end in this one way. When at the end of the day, that's just, like, not realistic.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion.
I agree.
I think you should marry this man.
I think you should marry this man. And just to let us know, like, if we're right in our hypothesis that, like, this could be the stuff of a really long-term successful marriage.
And I wish you, honestly, the best of luck with that because not many people have it.
But it really sounds all really fabulous.
And you sound like a great girl with, like, such a great head on her shoulders.
Yeah.
Love that for you. Mm. That was Dear Toasters, our advice segment. So if you ever want to write in, if you're having a problem you want our fabulous advice on, deartoasters@gmail.com. And if you've written in and we have read your prompt on air and you either followed or did not follow our advice, we would love to hear an update from you. deartoasters@gmail.com with an update, please. That's our show. Anything you want to say before I wrap up?
No, I mean, it's been a journey, this show, and it's been a pleasure as well.
It's been a pleasure.
And I hope everyone has an amazing day. Go watch our mukbang at patreon.com/themorningtoast. And we will see you tomorrow.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day. And if you've made it to the end of this episode, congratulations. You are now a member of the Society, Season 2. And to let us know that you are a true toaster who listens to the end of the episode because you care about what we have to say, drop an emoji on our most recent Instagram. Drop the emoji of,
there's so many things from today. What's it gonna be?
The witch, like something witchy. Give me witchy. Witchy vibes.
Yeah, like witchy, that? Yeah, witchy vibe. A potion.
A crystal ball. A cauldron. Jinx. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.